thankful for what truth of that song. Thank you, Brother Forrest, for singing that for us. And so we appreciate that so much. Yep, I'm on. All right, very good. Very good. To all our middle schoolers, elementary folks, you've got special service planned for you in the back. So you can head toward the lobby back there, and Miss Andrea will receive you. There you go. So if you want to do that, adults, if you want to go back there, you're just going to hurt my feelings. And so anyway, yeah, very good. Do not tie her up like last week. Leave her alone. So she's cranky when you tie her up. So anyway, we're glad for that. Glad for you. And so hope as you came in, you got a program. You can do a couple of things with that. One is there. It's QR code right up there by the title, and you can scan that. That'll get you to a Bible app, and you can follow along if you don't have a paper Bible, leather Bible with you. I hope you'll do that. I hope you have your own Bible. I hope you bring it. I've been concerned the last 5, 6, 7 years in the modern church, nobody brings a Bible, nobody looks at a Bible, and if they bring their phone, it looks a whole lot like they're playing a video game. And so don't do that. Make sure you stay tuned in. Like I said, if you download the app, you can just follow right along, and the notes are there, and so you can have all those kind of things. That's HardinValleyChurch.com/app. So I hope you'll do that. You got your program, you got your Bibles open. Go to Revelation 21, if you would. Revelation 21, we're going to stand, if you're willing and able. We'll read God's Word together. We read some of these verses last time. We're going to read them again, and we'll read the last four verses as well. Last four verses as well. Bible says, Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" Verse 4, spent a lot of time here last opportunity. "God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." If you're looking forward to verse 4, say amen. "And he that sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" I had, give or take, 112 books out this week on this passage, and most all of them said, John so stunned by the first four verses, he's still in shock from the last four verses of chapter 20, that God says, hey, keep writing. "And he said unto me, 'It is done.'" This is the last construction. This is the new state. "I'm Alpha and Omega," third time in Revelation he says that, "beginning and the end. I will give to him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, those who participate with drugs, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." If you'll allow me this morning, I want to speak today about all things new. All things new. A new heaven and a new earth. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray you'd help us right now. I pray that you'd help me to preach your word with power and authority. I pray, Father, even in these moments that you would get honor and glory. You speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help me. I pray you'd help me say what I need to, not what I don't. I pray that we'd be efficient and effective. But more than that, you, the Spirit of God, would convict, move, draw. Lord, for those who are hurting, I pray that you would give them peace. For those who are sinful, for those who are on the outside looking in, I pray even now, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and their lives. And that today, Lord, they would repent of their sins, put their faith and trust in you. Today they would drink the water of life freely. And I pray you do all that in your son's precious and holy name. And amen. Amen. I mean, you can be seated. Be seated. Whatever we've done, let's restart it back there on my settings and all. I've got almost no monitor. So let's do that. Unless you've been hiding this week, you have figured out, man, it's been a pretty brutal week. Robert Sterling summed it up for us pretty well, I thought. He said, first of all, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of Americans started the week seeing Irina Zarutska. That's a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee, beautiful blonde woman minding her own business on the light rail, the transit system there in Charlotte, brutally attacked and murdered and stabbed, and more than a few people glanced at her, minded their own business, and moved away. She'd passed away many weeks before, but the video was just released. People were reeling, discussions about how can we live in a country like this. We paused, we gripped. Those of us of a certain age were preparing for the 24th anniversary of 9/11. And as that was on the horizon, as people were thinking, as thousands and thousands of schools were getting ready to plant the almost 3,000 American flags, involved the students in the act of patriotism, as college campuses were preparing to do their own and different groups and ministries before we could get to the anniversary of one of the awfulest days in modern history, attack on our soil, the internet flooded as people began to share most grotesque and gruesome of videos of a gunman perched on a roof, apparently taking the time, the forethought, to scratch and inscribe awful things on bullets, and then fired a young man with security and protection around him, but a pretty narrow window to be attacked. And the man took advantage of that. And then if the reporting is true, if the events turn out to be the way they are, the untold horror of a parent having to make the request of law enforcement to come and take their son and turn him in, and the family upheaval that's there, and then now all the repercussions, etc. That would be sad enough on its face. But if you dared venture online, you saw people unbelievably upset, grasping for words, and then you saw a different part of society who celebrated, who reveled, who took the time to make videos of themselves celebrating that someone was murdered. Sterling said there are four tragedies. He said, number one, that a young man died. Number two, a young man died with family. Number three, a young man died with family barely a few feet away. And the fourth tragedy is that we figured out a way to celebrate someone being murdered. If none of that moves you, I would suggest you get a heart examination and say, well, the whataboutism and all these kind of things. You misunderstand. If you told me at the end of the service that Vladimir Putin had passed away, I wouldn't celebrate or rejoice. That was a human being who died. And even though, best I can tell, he's just as evil as the day is long, he went out into eternity lost, as far as I know. I'd be relieved, but I wouldn't rejoice. And I certainly wouldn't rejoice in the other, and I for certain wouldn't be making T-shirts and selling them online of the awful, gross act. And we do that, we don't like to mirror. And we don't know how to process. We don't like to mirror because we don't want to go, I could never do that, I could never be that. My heart's not that bad. But the scriptures are really clear. The scriptures are really clear, man, that the human heart's capable of just about any kind of evil. We just hopefully have enough Spirit of God and Word of God around us that kind of tempers that. We call it a sanctifying effect. Maybe you had the fear of God put in you from a mom or a dad or grandma, or grandpa, or stepmom, stepdad. Not everybody has, and not everybody understands. But the scriptures are really clear. And if we're not real careful, we go, man, I'm just hopeless. What in the world's going on? What are some things, man, that I need to get a handle on? So if you'll allow me to kind of weave that in and set the stage and help us out. You say, well, what about the politics? You misunderstand. If you didn't like him because he was making balloon animals, somebody murdered him. It's a sin. It's awful. It's evil. If you didn't like him because he did chalk art, it's evil. It's murder. It's awful. It's terrible. If you go, comma, but, you've got an unbelievable problem. It doesn't make any difference. And this is where we are, and this is what we're at. I said last time, and I want to just start there, if you'll allow me. I put it in your program there. I want to remind you, just to get us a running start, that there are a bunch of things that are no longer going to be the case in heaven, in this new heaven, this new earth. I gave them to you there so you wouldn't have to write them down. Verse 1, the Bible says there's no more sea. There's no more uncertainty, no more unknown. There's no more things getting lost in the sea. There's no more of any of that. There is no more seed. There is no more death. If you're thankful for that, that one day all this dying is going to stop, say amen. There's no more death. That's verse 4. There's no more mourning. No more widows. But let me help you. I highlighted a few things. There's no more students there in Colorado. There's no more the Naval Academy shooting. There's no more of anything. And again, I'd stand up here all day and talk about the awful stuff that was on the news in the last 2 weeks. That will all be done and done away with. And there'll be no more widows. There'll be no more kids. There'll be no more little girls saying, "Where's daddy?" There'll be no more tears. If you can't cry, you need to ask God to give you at least a little lump in your throat. As we mourn, as we weep now, knowing that will be gone. There's no more pain. Tom Farrell used to say, I'd preach to teenagers, and I'd talk about we're going to get a new body and be no more pain. The teenagers are going, because teenagers are indestructible, right? Man, they eat all this stuff. They eat half a pizza, a gallon of ice cream, a bag of Doritos, and go to sleep without an antacid. I can say that sentence, and some of you reach for your tums. We're going to get a new body. He said he preached to teenagers. They'd yawn. He said all the youth leaders go, huh? What was that? No more pain, no more sorrow, no more doctors, no more pills, no more chemo, no more pain, no more curse, no more thorns, no more thistles. I was out here spraying and doing the things and doing some of the landscaping and on. I was making laps around the building. It takes three gallons of stuff to spray all the property and spray everything that's done. And I was going around, man, I was sitting there and I see the weeds, I see the thorns. I'm going, you die, your day is coming. Your day is coming. Won't be any poison. We need any poison. Nobody gonna have to wear gloves to handle you people later on. The curse is gonna be done. There'll be no more night. It'll be perpetual day, and it will be not a problem but a thankfulness. There'll be no more thirst. We're gonna circle back to that. There'll be no more wickedness. There'll be no more need of the temple. We'll be in the very presence of God, and there'll be no more need for locks or gates or any kind of security system. There'll be no more need of that. No more need. You won't need a ring doorbell in heaven because everything will be just right. That's where we left it off last time. There'll be no more of these things. May I give you some hope today and introduce? I want to help you. About 500 times in the Bible, the idea of heaven or the word heaven is used. Revelation, it's right about 50 times as well. We said there's three ideas there. There's the atmosphere, there's space, and then there's the place, the abode of God, the place where the redeemed of the Lord stand and spend eternity. Heaven is described as up. It's described as far. It's described as near. And it's described as a real place. There are six features that are here that I think will encourage you and that will give you some hope this morning. If you're with me still, say amen. Here we go. Number one, there's the new unveiling. There's the new unveiling. I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. This is not a concept. It's a place. He says this is going to be revealed like a bride adorned for her husband coming down from heaven. Next time, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about that cube city. I'm going to talk about this capital city of heaven. But right now, we're just introduced to it. And it is unveiled. There is a better place. This place is temporary. This place is messed up and it is cursed. And as beautiful as the mountains are about to be, as beautiful as the leaves are going to be to watch, this is not as it should be. It is touched and tainted and ruined by the curse. But there is a new city coming, and God has been working on it with the same preparation that a bride or a groom would have on their putting their best foot forward on their wedding day. If you have a casual and had a casual wedding, my hat is off to you. But I'm still old-fashioned. I still like the fact, if you can, you know, at least run a comb through your hair. If you can, at least, you know, make sure you knock the dirt off your shoes. Someone has said, rightly so, last time I said this, I got unbelievable flack. Let me see if I can say it different this time. That a lady never looks better most of the time than on her wedding day. Don't hate me. The reason is because usually you don't have somebody helping you get ready every day. Usually you don't have a team of folks curling your hair. You don't have somebody steaming your dress. You don't have somebody, you may pay them, or maybe your sister or friend coming in and helping you put on the eyelashes and the mascara and things. And typically a man rarely thinks about his appearance, but for once or twice in his life he's thinking about how he looks. So he usually doesn't look much better than he does on his wedding day. Jesus has for 2,000 years been getting this place ready for you and I. He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. When he comes, it is with the specificity of a long plan, long thought out, beautiful wedding, and he brings it down with that level of specificity. When he comes, it's going to be absolutely, when he brings the city, the new heaven, new earth, it will be absolutely, positively amazing, glorious. There's a new capital. I believe this is the capital city. Verse 2. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, made as a bride adorned for heaven. We get the new capital city of God. It is amazing. It is awesome. There's no more sea. We're all just land now. Everything has changed climatically, and we have a new place. Again, I don't want to spoil next week, but it's a cube city. Starting in verse 9, it gives you the dimensions. It's as tall as it is wide as it is long. It's verticality. The sheer number of stories you could put inside of that cube city. Everything changes, by the way. There's a river that runs through it. Everything is different. We'll be able to go to different places. The earth is there. The city is there. And we have a new capital. I said the last time, I'm longing for a place I've never been. I think after this week, I'm longing for a place I've never been even more. People I love are there. Jesus is there. And the best is still yet to come. There's a new closeness with God. Look again there in verse number 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I will dwell among them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be among them. If you're taking notes today, I encourage you to write this down. The supreme glory and joy of heaven is the person of God. The supreme glory and joy of heaven is the person of God. John Bunyan, in his great book, The Pilgrim's Progress, he suggested that heaven would be hell for lost people. Lest he's misunderstood, he just said, the last thing a lost person wants is to be around God. They would be miserable. The best thing about heaven will not be streets of gold, the cube city that's thousands of miles in dimension. The best thing about heaven will not be streets of gold, gates of pearl. It will not be the iridescent shining of a jasper or a diamond, as it were, radiating the glory of God. The best thing about heaven will be Jesus. Everything else is a fringe benefit. Everything else is window dressing. I will see him unveiled in his glory. I will see him this way. Say, this world is terrible. Let me help you. One day, you'll not pray to a God you cannot see. You will talk to a God you can see. One day, we will not sing songs and worship and wonder if God hears and hope he appreciates it. We will have perfect voices and perfect pitch and perfect harmony. Sing to the Lamb who was slain from the foundation where we will be as close to God as we have ever been, and we will be that way throughout eternity. What will it be like there? Dr. MacArthur suggests there's a few things that will be different there. We'll enjoy fellowship with God. Anybody here ever blown it? Anybody here in the last a week or two, something came out of your mouth, shouldn't have come out of your mouth, lost your cool, or found your temper? That's the way to say it, right? We don't lose our temper, we find it. We find it, and it's awful, and it's evil, and it's dripping with slime. Anybody here, you use God's name, punctuation? Always bothers me. Somebody takes a bite of food, and they go, OMG. I don't want to smack them. That was food. That's the Lord God Almighty. Do not take his name in vain. Found yourself clicking around, you went, hey, I shouldn't be on that website. 2 hours later, that'll all be done away with. When you know Christ, one day you will be with him and there will be no sin hindering. You ever had cold heart? I'm always stunned when we do one of these projects, 21 days, whatever we do. I'm always stunned how many people I got to drag, tie up, throw over my back and go, please pray. You say you know Jesus, please talk to the one you say you love. Don't you think that's a foolish thing for a pastor all to have to do? Beg people to communicate with the one they say they love so much they died on the cross for them and saved for their sin. How many of you think that's a foolish thing that a pastor ought to do? Nod your head at me. There'll be no more cold hearts. We'll have fellowship with him. Secondly, we will see him just as he is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. One of our men's groups has been over this so many times in the past few weeks. We will see him as he is. I will get the right picture. There's a third thing there. We will worship God. Chapter 22, you kind of see that picture there, verse number 3. We will worship God and we will serve God. What are we going to do, man? We're going to be perfectly employed by the Lord. We won't be bored. Somebody said, we're just walking around kicking rocks. Man, you'll have stuff to do. You'll get to grow. You'll get to learn. You'll do all these things. Why, in this new place, man, everything will be made right. There's all those no mores that I mentioned, by the way, and that's enough. If he just did away with all the stuff that I talked about there in verse 4 and the other verses, the man is there. Number 5, who are these residents? You still with me? Say amen. Who are the residents and who are they? Who are they? Who are these residents? You're still there? Still there? Look, if you would, at verse 7. The Bible says, I will give to the one, verse 6, I'll give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things. I will be his God and he will be my son. My wife and I do what some of you do. Maybe with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, maybe with maybe it's your stepson or stepdaughter, maybe it's just yours. They do something you're proud of and go, that's mine. They do something that drives everybody crazy and you go take the Tylenol pill off, bottle off, and you go, that's your child. That's your child. You ever been to family reunion? Maybe it was a funeral or a wedding or something like that. Somebody does something kind of goofy and they go, yeah, they take after her. Hey, they take after him. They do something. Riley and Allison, every now and then our children will all be together and stuff like that and we'll do some things and Andre will look at me and she'll wink. She'll wink and go, that was me. That was me. Allison did something. Our daughter did something the other day and Andre looked at her and said, that's June Belcher. That's the ultimate put down in my family. That's grandma. That's Andrea's grandmother, Allison's great-grandmother that she really never met. And Allison did something, and Andrea pulled that out, and I went, I don't know what that is in Holloman terms, but it seems like that's the trump. And Allison bowed up and said, I know that's not a nice thing. No, it's not a nice thing. And I'm like, I'm married in this family. I shouldn't be a part of this. I'm leaving now. He's saying, you are my children. Christianity is a set of facts that we attest to. We say a creed, we recite some things. Nope. You don't get to become his son, his child, and figure it out later. That happens now. Who does he do it to? He says, those who are thirsty. He's going back to the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So what do you mean? Has there ever been a time, a point, a place in your life where you said, God, I am an awful, terrible, wicked sinner, and I'm so tired of living this way. I'm so tired of the guilt. I'm so tired of the shame. I'm so tired of trying a little harder. I went to this church, went to that church. Maybe you had a bad experience. Maybe you had a bad time. Maybe you tried a little more. But you go between the pills and the needles, between the sex with the different boyfriends and the girlfriends, between the drinking and all the things and the party and everything. I am not right with God. I got great news for you. You can be a citizen of this new heaven. Everything can be different. Look right at me for a second. You want the kicker? And half a dozen of you in here sent something like this to me over the last 2 days. You hear the kicker? If Charlie Kirk was a believer, and the 4 or 5 people that I know personally who knew him swear to me he was a genuine deal. Love Jesus. Charlie's with the Lord, and bless everything I know he is. Wait for it. Whoever shot, if there was one of them or two of them or 5 of them, they can be just as right with God as Charlie was. They can be just as forgiven as Charlie was. They can be just as blessed and forgiven, and they can have all of heaven. Say, that offends me. That doesn't offend you. Grace offends you. And you go, that guy's sin's really big, but my sin's not real big. Let me help you. Lo, everyone who is thirsty, let him come to the river of water and drink freely. You don't have to be thirsty anymore. Are you tired of it? There's not enough sex in the world. There's not enough pornography in the world. There's not enough drinking in the world. Not enough drugs in the world. Not enough foul language and ugly things in the world. You can watch Netflix from start to finish and start on the Korean side of things and not be satisfied. Only Jesus can satisfy the longing of your heart and meet the need of your life. It is one who overcomes. Not belief, it's believing. I will introduce these folks saying they have decided to follow Jesus. I raised my hand as a kid. I got no love for Jesus. I'm still practicing sin. I don't really care much about the things of God. Well, you just raised your hand. That's all you did. That's all you did. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, most of your Bibles are going to say, is believing. Imperfectly. Ups and downs, starts and stops and fits. But it's the believer. It's the believer. Some of you, the burden of your heart right now is for children, grandchildren, family members who raised their hand at some point, and then they got no love for God. They just raised their hand. They just need to be, they need to come to the water of life and drink freely. I want to be found faithful when either I die or Jesus comes. And I'm thankful not only that it's the one who overcomes, but he helps me overcome. Greater is he in me than he's in the world. I'm glad for the power of God the gospel of God that is the power of God to salvation. I have no claim to anything. If I'm better today, if I've grown in Christ today, it's because the Spirit of God's using the Word of God in my life. Some of you haven't grown because you're spiritually starving. You got Bibles, apps, you got Opportunity to Church, you got our YouTube page, you got our YouTube shorts. You ain't got to watch long. You can watch a couple of minutes, get a little gospel nugget. You could be growing in Christ, but you refuse to out of laziness or apathy, whatever, and you feel like you're lost because you're thirsty again. You need to come and drink freely. Grow in the Lord. These are the residents of the new heaven and the new earth. And then there's the folks who are the residents of the lake of fire. Let me offer these to you, and I'm done. You still with me? Say amen. All right, here we go. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is a list. It's not the list. Flip over a page. Still with me? Still with me? Swipe in your Bibles, whatever, on your tablets, rather. Swipe in your Bibles. Turn the page in your Bible, swipe on your phone. There we go. Blah, blah, blah. Trying to talk fast. People in here got a stopwatch. All right. For without are dogs. That's what they called the folks who tried to pull folks back into Judaism. Sorcerers, drug users, particularly folks who would use drugs in order to commune with demons, stuff like that. Sexually idolatrous person, whoremongers. Murderers, again, hate in their heart or hate with their hands. Idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. That is the last time we really have anything negative in the Bible. This is a list, not the list. Romans 1:28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to an unsound mind to do the things which are not proper, having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, violent, arrogant, boastful. Every kid in here, listen to me. Inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. You want to portray a heart that's never been born again, unregenerate? You don't honor and you disobey mom and dad. That's a sign you need to be saved and from your sin and trust Christ. Without understanding, I foolishly went on Reddit Friday. I took 2 showers. I'm still nasty. Untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And all they that know the righteousness of God, that practice such things are worthy of death, wait for it. They not only do the same, but one way of saying it, they give hearty approval. We watch that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We watch people celebrating evil. By the way, if that doesn't gall you, we spend an enormous amount of money buying pornography, celebrating evil. We pay $19.95 for television programming that celebrates and exalts evil. We are absolutely, positively in the middle of Romans 1:28 through 32. 1 Corinthians 6, know you not that unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. The deeds of the flesh, Galatians 5, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcerers, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, ambition, dissension, factions, envy, and drunken, carousing, and the such like. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to, this list is a little easier than the other list. See, I feel convicted. Good. Come to the water of life and drink freely. Tell God, I'm tired of living this way. I'm interested in you cleaning me up. I need hope in my life. There is. See, what's it mean there? He talks about a couple of things. He talks about the cowardly, the fearful. Because they're fearful, they will not confess Christ openly. because they're worried about what it'll cost them or what it will happen to them. The unbelievers, faithless, they deny Christ by their conduct and their speech. The vile, the detestable, the abominable, they've been polluted. You ever talk to someone and they just can't help themselves? Bugs me when I'm around 8 or 10 year old and they can't speak anything except sexually and dropping bombs. So absolutely polluted. Ryan Reynolds and his crowd have much to answer for what they have done to the generation today. And moms and dads who give the remote and say, good luck. The unbelievers, the vile, the murderers, the savage killers, again, the heart and the hands. Sexually immoral. Now I want you to hear something. Everything I've said from the text, apparently, if I read what I read right in the last 3 days, means somebody else shoot me. Because I'm offering hope. Not for nothing, I checked more than a few boxes in that list before Jesus saved me and changed my life. And I'm so thrilled that I've moved from number 6 to number 5 because of the cross of Calvary, because of the precious shed blood of Jesus, because he died my place and he rose again and he said, hey, you were awful and terrible and nasty and wicked and I died for you. And I'd love to change your life and your trajectory. I'd love to take your name out of that book and put it over here in this book. If you're glad God's offered that to you, say amen. Sorcerers, particularly those who use drugs and different things like that in order to elevate their mind, and do those kind of things. Idolaters, worship of idolaters, particularly there, and all liars. Don't know the truth, lie against the truth. Say, that seems so odd. That seems so awful. I want to remind you, that's not a permanent state for you. It is now. It will be then, but it's not now. You have hope now. Excuse me. Bob Russell said, I'm done. Look right at me. I'm done. So there are 3 things you ought to remember about the events of this week. I thought they were great. I wrote them down. He said, remember, number one, life is fragile. It is fleeting. It is temporary. Harry Reader, great pastor in the Birmingham area a few years ago, on his way to an early morning tennis match about 8:30 in the morning, and a guy who was already stone cold drunk drove through at high speed an intersection, blew through the red light. Reader was talking with the guy he was going to go play tennis with. He was in the passenger seat. He took the full brunt of that. And out he went into eternity. Charlie Kirk, with the microphone coming to his mouth, the last thing he ever said. By the way, if you're mad with people and upset and put out and all those kind of things, you probably ought to forgive, get over it, and go make those things right. Life is fragile. Life is fragile. My wife and I say, I love you, I love you, I love you, to the point it makes our kids nauseous. I just about refuse to say goodbye. If you talk to me on the phone, you've caught me doing it. I'll say, talk to you in a little bit. I'll talk to you in a minute. I'll talk to you later. I just, every how many years. Some of you text me afterwards going, are we supposed to talk again tonight? No, I'm just not saying goodbye. I'll talk to you in a little bit. It's bad when you're talking to the repairman. Hey, I love you. I'll talk to you in a little bit. Okay, Mr. Holloman. Life's fragile. I'm just going to live that way. Number two, Russell said, people matter more than stuff. You get really excited your house is clean, but you don't really care if your neighbor dies and goes to hell. We got something backwards. People matter more than stuff. Finally, I love what he said. And again, that's why I'm sharing. Simple decisions affect life and death. Simple decisions affect life and death. If it is goodbye this morning, and not talk to you later. Where are you at? Are you in verses 1 through 5? Are you in, or 1 through 7? Are you in verse 8? Where are you at? Where are you at right now? Chapter 20. It's not judgment, it's sentencing. You're already condemned. You're just finding out what's ahead. Hell is emptied out, the temporary prison. Hell is cast in the lake of fire. Death is done away with. And then all those who have rejected Christ, all those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the most sobering two verses, I think, in all the Bible. And they are cast in, and that is the last we hear of them. Somebody said, I believe in purgatory. You can believe in whatever you want. You'll read it cover to cover. I'm 54. I've been reading the Bible through since I was a teenager, so I'm coming up on not quite 40 times at this point now. I've read it cover to cover, and I'm telling you, it ain't there. So I watch this TV show, and you get a second chance after that. That's good TV show writing. That is not Bible. Simple decisions, life or death. You know Jesus? You ever change your life? You used to be in that list of folks, but now God has saved you and changed you and forgiven you. And you're not where you ought to be, but praise God, you're not where you want to be. But praise God, where you're not where you ought to be. But you're moving, you're growing, and God is working in your heart and your life. Hallelujah! Or you're here and you're going, I am so thirsty. And not enough white claws in the world satisfy the longing in your heart for Jesus. Not enough vaping, not enough TCL, there's not enough. You'd be high as a kite from now to Wednesday, and it will not satisfy. Say if. Say, this is awful. This is awful. God said, doesn't have to be. I will send my son to die on the cross for all the awful that you would ever do. And he'll pay the punishment for your sins, and I'll offer you his righteousness if you would come to him simply by faith. Russell is right. Simple actions matter, life and death. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. At our church, we give opportunity to respond. It's not a big thing. We don't promotion, certainly not guilt manipulation. But if you're here today and you're going, boy, man, I needed to hear that. The awfulness of my sin demands punishment. But Christ paid the punishment for my sin. And maybe you're here and you're going, this is my opportunity. I've been putting it off. Maybe I hadn't thought about it this way. But the events of the week, and it's easy to see the awfulness of another, but it's hard to see the awfulness of me. It's hard to see my need. And you're sitting here going, you know, that's why I've been acting the way, because I'm so thirsty spiritually. That's why I'm acting this way. I can't get my act together. I can't do that. I'm full of guilt. I'm full of shame. And you can bed hop all you want. You can try all the stuff you want, and money will not satisfy. And you go, I'm so tired and I'm so thirsty. He says, come, drink of the water of life freely.